that it's just us. We're just sitting, look at it. We're just in a room.
I'm not nervous.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Dad, we're just sitting around talking about infertility and sex. What's awkward about that? Nothing.
With your parents.
With your parents. Oh, God. Who's going to be the nervous one? Me. Not you.
Oh, you people.
Today, I'm sitting down with my parents. What could go wrong there? Welcome back to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so happy to have you here, and we hope you enjoy today's conversation. I mean, just to paint the picture a little bit, it's not just me in our family that is struggling with infertility. My sister, you know, just found out on Thanksgiving this year that her IVF cycle didn't work and we were all together. So that really was hard, and we can talk about that. And my brother has also had a miscarriage, my brother and sister-in-law. So you guys have been around this subject. And then there's me also, who, you know, struggled with infertility and was told that you couldn't have biological children and failed IUI, failed IVF cycle. So yeah, you guys have had a lot of experience kind of being on the, you know, outward rim, maybe, if you could say, and just had a lot of it. We had a lot of it in our family, and I just would love to hear your perspective of what that feels like.
Your experience when we went, Jesse's our oldest. Mm-hmm. And so.
And the most wisest and the favorite.
The favorite.
The favorite. Thank you.
So when you and Doug experienced infertility, it's like we were just dipping our toe in this massive experience called infertility, and we were navigating day by day how, you know, what our response, how to respond. Honestly, it was a very helpless feeling.
Yeah.
Very helpless. I just remember being so discouraged and sad, because there's nothing we can do to take this from you.
Yeah.
A parent's desire is to equip their kids for everything they come across in life. And this was the first time it was a total wall. We couldn't do anything. And really, even knowing how to respond to you guys in that moment, like, of course, we joined you in the disappointment and the sadness over it all.
Yeah.
But we also were trying to be an encouragement and don't give up.
Right.
And, cheer you on.
Right.
As that's you gotta navigate.
Odd. That's gotta be odd. Like, you want to be sad, but you also want to have hope for your child that it could still work or work out.
Right.
That had to be hard to kind of sit in that space.
For sure. Yeah. It was really hard. You know, you're going to say something wrong. I mean, if you're going through this and your parents, you know, just like you're learning as you guys were experiencing it.
Yeah.
We're learning as parents, how do you do this? Like, how do you do it well?
Right.
How do you, not, add more pain to what's already, a very painful situation.
Did you feel like you could say things, or do you feel like you, what side
I
of the
think thing? I look back and I think, I wish I said more. I wish I was able to. I mean, Jesse, you're really good at expressing at reaching out and saying, this is what I need.
Right.
Well, that's a gift that you gave us as parents, because we didn't exactly know how to,
Right.
We were hopeful. We were very positive on one end of it. And the other end, we were just discouraged for you, but also selfishly for us. Like,
totally
wanted grandkids.
Some of our other friends were having grandkids, and they would show us videos and pictures, and we're like, oh, that's annoying.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I never thought about it from that, because that's what people that are struggling with infertility say is that all their friends are having kids. I've never thought of it as like a grandparent's perspective of going to like parties or whatever. I'm like, you want to see my grandson do this trick that you don't really care about in the video that never ends? And you're like, this is not that fun. Yeah. I never thought about it from that. That would be painful.
I think that's something we sheltered you from, kept you from.
Yeah.
You know, but in with each other, we're like waiting. What's the deal? What's going
on? Right.
So there's that side of the waiting, but you don't share that with your child that's going through all this.
Right.
I think for me, there was a couple of things I was thinking when she was talking. I wasn't listening, but
as usual.
Wow.
One, for me personally, completely clueless. I barely understood what happened when we did have children. Yeah. So now it's like, wait, what? What is all this? So it was a big lost in the dark side of, I think, for me.
Right.
The other thing I was going to say was, you know, it's sort of in keeping with what you're already doing as a parent at that point. Because you've had your children, and you've been bossing them around their whole lives.
Right. Thank you.
Filling them with lots of wisdom and just telling them what's right and wrong.
What bands to listen to, what bands not to listen to. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then they get married and you're already sort of letting that go. And, you know, you see them doing things and you're like, you just make that face like, that's maybe not something I would do. But, you know, you learn to shut up and you learn to let them go about their own life.
Right.
And
I don't know if everybody does that. Well, every parent does that, but yes.
That was definitely our goal. Right. And
I would love to know, but that's a podcast for another time.
I can't think
of it. Oh, it is. Anything. That's for sure.
So I was just going to say when that came along, which I'm thinking was 5 years into your marriage.
Yeah.
5 years, you know, so we were already, now you have this thing.
Right.
So now you're in the same kind of thing where you're like, you're wrestling with how much do you say? Yeah. You don't really ask too many questions. You're not trying. You don't want to come across like you're pushing.
Right.
Because you already feel like you guys already have enough pressure on you, or you're already going through a lot and you don't need me or, you know, us adding to it. So we're trying to balance that between trying to get information and deal with the information and that kind of thing. So there's a whole thing there about being a parent. I think that's part of it too.
Right. So. What feelings did that bring up? Was it awkward?
I say frustration. It's just frustration because.
As in like to hold that line. Like we want to be asked questions. I'm sure you were thinking of it as soon as we walked in the room, you know, like what happened, because we care so much, but then didn't want to press and like push us away. Was that awkward or what did that feel like?
I think it was frustration is like living in this zone, which I'm totally unfamiliar with. Normally we could talk about whatever it is.
Totally.
And I could ask you, and I'm not saying you weren't approachable, but I also was very mindful that my questions would potentially create pressure for you.
Yeah.
That you already were feeling yourself. You didn't need my help, you know, feeling any more pressure to make this thing happen.
Right.
You know, I think as an avoider generally about emotions, I'm not exactly someone who's in touch with emotions.
Five on the Enneagram.
Doesn't really like to sit in that. Yeah. You know, I think my general reaction to almost anything that came your way during this process was I was immediately hopeful.
Hopeful.
Like, oh, well, okay, that didn't work. In 3 months, it's going to work.
Right.
And that's just, maybe there's an avoidance there with really dealing with the problem, but that I think I was always like, well, the next thing will work and the next thing will work. So I think that's where I lived in so I didn't just plummet down into like despair or something. I'm always like hopeful. It's like, oh, well, the next thing will be great.
And then what was that like when it was like, it didn't work?
Well, it got to the point where it was like, it was hard. Maybe I was faced to deal with the thing. It was like, this is possibly not going to work. And maybe that's another way for me. Like, I think there was a time when you came and told us we're a double whammy between whatever Doug's problems are and your problems are. I have no idea what those are.
In more ways than one. Just kidding.
But that would for me be like, okay, well, that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So.
And then what did that feel like? Did you feel like you're avoiding
it?
I was just going to say, trying to pull you into the feelings. Did that again, though? Did you like go to like, well, there's hope for his adoption.
Yeah.
There's hope in adoption.
Probably. Right.
Instead of just like, oh, this sucks and this is bad news.
Personally, that's probably where I go. Sort of like onto the next thing.
Yeah.
But
if you could guess. Yeah. Well, if you could guess, though, like what did that
feel
like?
Well, I mean, it is sad. I mean, it's really sad. It's like, we can talk about Matthew and Cecile later.
Yeah.
And that really is a bomb on this wound, but there is a side of me that's like, can you imagine a Jesse and Doug child?
Mm.
If anybody knows these people, they would have made some crazy little varmints.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our family just loves little children.
Right, we all do.
We love our little children.
Right
now we have James. He's like 20 months.
Yes.
The whole house is around him.
Right.
So But there was some painful sort of letting that go.
Yeah. That's where some of my biggest pain comes in. I see little pictures, not little pictures. I see pictures of Doug as a child, and like almost instantly I can like have a feeling in my heart, or like a sunken feeling, or a gut punch, or like tears in my eyes. Even just now I could still have that of like, oh, what would that have been like? What would they have looked like? You know, what would their personalities? Because obviously Doug and I have, I wouldn't say mild personalities, you know, I would say big personalities. And so, yeah, I think that is definitely a grieving, but I never thought about that from your perspective.
That was big. You know, you love your kids. We loved you so much. We loved Doug so much. Mm-hmm. And the thought
sounds past tense, but
oh, we still do.
Loved.
Love them,
loved.
But we like the thought of having your child like in our arms was just going to be just this delight. And as it is, it is.
Yeah.
It's a very much a awesome experience right. that I wouldn't want anyone to do without.
Right.
But, you know, that wasn't the case.
Right.
And so that was a grief that had to take place, realizing that we would not have that.
Yeah. Now, what is this like to be kind of experiencing this again? Like, now my sister Abby found out on Thanksgiving this year,
2 weeks ago,
2022, we're all there cooking the turkeys, swirling the mashed potatoes, and we find out that her IVF cycle didn't work. And to have, you know, now we have my brother and sister-in-law that have experienced a miscarriage. And like, what's that like? Now seeing it again, having it happen again. Mom?
Oy, sorry.
It's okay.
It's pretty raw right now. Again, unexpected.
Yeah.
For our daughter, our middle daughter, Abby. this is secondary infertility, which again is something I didn't realize was a thing. You guys have brought so much awareness to that. So of course she wants a sibling for her daughter.
Right.
You know, and they're great parents, and you know, all the ticks in a parent's mind, in my mind, like, they're great parents. They're amazing people. They've got so much to offer. They're skilled and talented.
Yeah.
And why is this happening? And they are handling it with grace. And it was a really difficult moment.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, we were sitting down at the table. We had 5 minutes, and the doctor called and told her, and she had had 5 eggs all week that had done, we thought, fairly well. So it is not any easier the second time around. They're still devastating and disappointing. So we're in that process right now, and I don't know where it will lead. But my heart hurts for them.
Yeah. The why.
Jeez.
The why.
Yeah.
It does feel like the why is like, why our family? This feels like it's like, it felt like for me, this is how I feel towards it, is it's like, and maybe this is a big sister thing, but like, I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the heart. Mm-hmm. I'll take the sad. I'll take the bad news. I can handle it. I'm strong.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'll just be me. That's the only person that will have experience in our family with this.
Yeah.
And now to like have so much experience and so much exposure to it, that's what I feel. It's like, no, not them. Like, yeah. Not like, let's not spread this out. Let's keep this with just me. I'll shoulder it. I'll put it on me, you know, I'll deal with all that pain, you know, not them. I don't want them to. So, and just the why. I felt like I walked away from Thanksgiving. Like, why is this happening? Why is this happening again? You know, I just want to take it away. I want to solve it and take it away, which is so funny because literally I tell people, don't solve it and don't try to take it away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't like on an emotional level, I sit and cry and process and all the things, but on my own separate journey, I'm like, why? Why is this happening again?
Yeah. It's a gut punch. It is a gut punch that feels like familiar, and you just, you just take it, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for the child that's experiencing it, and it's hard for the parents. And
right.
This might sort of sound strange, but.
But here we go.
Sort of philosophy a little bit, but.
Well, you're filling in for Doug.
Yeah.
We call it Doug's analogies.
Okay.
It's the Doug analogy corner. That's what we call it.
And this, there might be some avoidance going on, but also, you know how like.
At least you're aware.
Just life goes by and grandkids are growing up and your kids are with you and you're just going through things. Something like this, that's dark and heavy like this and life and death, it makes you appreciate and take the moment to be with Olive, you know,
her, my sister's daughter,
the little, their first child. Yeah. So, and then she's, and then with Abby and it just, there is something about that, that sort of sparks you out of just routine.
Right.
Into
ground.
Well, of course I'm going to move to sort of positive and go, I'm so blessed to have Abby as a daughter and she's so great.
Right.
And Olive is so awesome and spend some time with her. Cause you know, life just goes by sometimes and you're not even seeing it. You know, you're not seeing how great this little child is.
And right.
Not that we don't, but
I know what you mean.
There's that kind of side too.
It like, in a way, would you say like gives you ground? Like, it's like grounding to have that sort of happen. Like
it kind of slows time down and you just sort of look at them and sort of realize their value and how much you love them and all that.
Right.
I think it,
at the same time, you're sort of hurting too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it feels like a holy moment, you know, when those things happen.
Right.
When you actually look at people through a different lens, the lens of loss.
Yeah.
It makes every moment that we have more special.
Right. Yeah. For you, Dad, being so unaware of what was happening with me, does it almost make you go like, oh my gosh, Jesse went through this? Like almost more of a clearer picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was probably a whole lot of denial and sort of whatever going it the first time through.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and I think the work that you guys do here at Uniquely Knitted has equipped us for sure with the language and a deeper understanding of how many people in the world are going through this and what their experiences are like. And some have supportive and families and friends and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I think the work that you guys are doing here is just off the charts amazing. I have a thought, Jesse, on something that I wish I would have done better, or I wish I, in hindsight, would have known to do more of. And that is just because it is such a helpless, from a parent's perspective, helpless situation when your kids are experiencing it. I wish I would have just come to you and said, what do you need from me? How can I love you best today? Mm. What do you need? And I think there may be times where you would have had a practical thing that you did need, but there would have been other days where you just needed me to love you through what you were experiencing.
Yeah.
And maybe for somebody who's trying to help their support people know what to do. Maybe that's just a question they can equip them with and say, can you just check in on me and see what I need from you?
Right.
And as a parent, I would have been grateful to have that verbiage and that, you know, in my mind at the time, because it is such a time where you're at a loss for words. Mm-hmm. So
that is so true. And then as the parent, accept whatever the answer is. Even if it's, I need space.
Yes.
Even if it's, you know, I'd like you to not ask me when I see you next time or whatever. It's like, even if it's something that is not, because I think that's hard because the parent wants to be like, what do you need? What can I do? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would say it's similar, but it's like, what can I do? How can I, because it's so hard as a parent, I'm sure, to be, you can't fix it. You can't fix it. You can't boo-boo, band-aid, scrape. Fix it.
Right.
And so I feel like that's where it's like, sometimes it's hard. It's like, yes, I love that idea of like telling, asking every day what they need, because every day could change too.
Right.
And yes, every day is intense, I would say, especially when you're like doing treatment or, you know, stuff like that. It can be very, very intense, and every day something new could come up. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, an everyday check-in. But I like what you said of like, and then whatever it is, like, but I feel like accepting, even if it's not something you can do, right, even if it's not something that you can't take away, right, or whatever. Yeah. And even if it's space.
Exactly. That's okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
You just ask that question and you just wait for an answer, and then that's the answer.
Yes.
You don't keep pushing.
Yes. Right. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. That's what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
You ask that question and they might go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fine.
Right.
You don't keep going, well,
how
you don't
about
come
I,
with an
how about
agenda.
If I make you chicken noodle soup?
Yeah.
Right.
How about, you know, all right.
You don't come with an agenda. You
right.
Just ask that question. Whatever the answer is, that's it. And maybe it isn't anything today. And that's okay.
And not only now has my sister experienced IVF and it not work, and it's very, very, very fresh, but your son, your youngest son, my brother and sister-in-law have experienced a miscarriage. What was that? It's got to be a little different, because also, I don't know if you remember, Sarah, my sister-in-law, just reminded me this morning when I got permission, if I could talk about all these things on our podcast. Yes, I did get permission from all the people. She said it was Mother's Day. She told us that she was pregnant on Mother's Day.
I remember it. Of course.
Right.
She gave me a, Ben and Sarah gave me a card that said Happy Mother's Day to a good mom,
right,
all that. And then at the bottom, it said, we know that you will be just as good of a grandma to our baby that's due in such and such. And I don't remember the due date, but
then we all
and then I read
shit.
It out loud, and we were sitting in the front yard in lounge chairs and celebrating Mother's Day. And I read it out loud, and we all absolutely lost our minds, as we do when there's big news.
We lost our minds.
And it was such a celebratory moment. Oh my gosh. We were just on cloud nine. And then they had issues with the pregnancy pretty soon after that. And there's such a, again, a gut punch that when, especially we had already experienced it with you.
Yeah.
We had not experienced it with Abby yet.
Yeah.
But to have them go through that, it was just like, oh Lord, please no, don't, not again.
Right.
You know, and fortunately they had, were able to get pregnant a year or so after that.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a long-term struggle,
but
man, in that moment, the struggle was real. It was.
Yeah. I know you've had all these moments. It's like me and my infertility, not being able to have biological children, them having a miscarriage now, or Ben and Sarah having a miscarriage, and now Abby having an IVF cycle not work. Like, what is the conversation between you two when those things happen? Like, you hear now Ben and Sarah, we're pregnant, we're so excited. I'm sure you've told people at this point. I can't totally remember, but like, we told people, we're excited. And then it's like, oh, they're having a miscarriage. It's like, what's going on between you two when these things happen? You've had a lot of bad news. Sorry.
I mean, we have in that way.
I mean, and I've had foster placements not work out. I mean, we've had a lot of heaviness. We had two disruptive infant adoptions, you know, Doug and I did. It's like, you guys have had a lot of,
and I think I remember Ben and Sarah had a long period of time before everything worked.
Yeah.
Again,
So. Right. What's the dynamic between you two or the conversations that are being had?
I think we figure out things in conversation. Like, sometimes I feel like Randy has a lot of questions after, you know, you leave or whatever, something has been revealed. It's just, I think there's a time where we sit together and we're talking it through and trying to understand, making sure we both understand what just happened. And then there's other times where we probably have to process on our own and deal with your own kind of pain or whatever you're, you know, figuring out just I don't know, thinking it through and trying to see what our thoughts are. But we, you know, I would say it's not done in one conversation for sure. It's over time.
Yeah.
We are constantly dialoguing, and
you guys have had a lot of blows.
Yeah. And I was just, the one that I'm thinking of was the one that most recently, and you know, Tammy made mention, she went to bed like 6:30 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a side of it. She's like, yeah, she's got to do that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I was out watching football in denial.
Sounds about right.
I don't know.
No, that's, that's funny. It's true.
Yeah. You know, as a parent, you almost anything that comes up in your child, you find a solution.
Yeah.
When you're raising them.
Right.
And even in teen years or whatever. And even in marriage years, if they came to you for advice, you have something, and you sort of, there gets to be a point where it's sort of resolved.
Yeah.
And this sort of has that long, open ending that never closes and just sort of keeps rolling into space unsolved. And there's a side as a parent that's like, that's frustrating and hard. And you just have to get to the point where you just go, it has to be. It's just, you know, you got to let go.
Right.
You're not going to be able to close this loop. It's just going to keep rolling out there, and it's not going to close up. Mm-hmm. I think at that point too, you sort of have to look up, you know, into something. This is life and death. This is, God is the giver of life. Mm-hmm. So this naturally leads you to look upward, I think, because it's, you know, all of life is sort of a miracle from God anyway. So it just sort of forces you to go that way too. You have to go upward, because it's just too big of an issue. It's not like a scraped knee where you can put a bandage. It's this big thing.
Right.
So, and there's a ton of mystery laid on it. Like, how does anybody get pregnant? You know, all that kind of stuff. Right. I mean, I know that medically they understand some things, but on the other hand, I think it's all sort of like, well, it happens.
Right.
So.
Right. But what does that feel like as a parent to have your child go through something and it can't be the scraped knee boo-boo?
Yeah.
It's something that's like, oh, this is just out there and there's no like,
well, I think your faith, that's what I'm just sort of saying. Yeah. It just drives you to your faith. It's such a big thing.
Yeah.
Then you end up living in faith, and you just have to sort of let it go into God's hands and go, you know, I don't understand. Like the why we were just talking about a second ago, you just sort of lay it down and go, I have to let it down.
Right.
And then you have hope that something's going to come play, you know, come along. And maybe nothing does, but you just still have to keep it laid, let it go.
So. Right. Don't hold it so tight. Maybe.
I think a thought for me that has settled me down, it has grounded me, is, and especially when we were doing the, we had a foster placement.
Yes.
is I may only have this day to love this child.
Mm.
I will do it to the best of my ability, because I am not guaranteed anything beyond this moment with this child. And can I be asking myself, can I be okay with that?
Mm.
Can I be okay with it? Because in the previous to that, I always thought, well, you build love in a child, right? You, over time, you build and maybe help repair some of the things that have been unfortunate in their past.
Right.
And yet, if I'm just allowed to love this kid, this baby, this small child for a day, this moment, can I be okay with the fact that that is enough? And I have to say yes. I had to say yes, that is enough. And then it just brings this whole experience down to a moment in time that I can deal with, that I have a plan for, that I can love this child. And I'm sure, Jesse, you helped me understand that through your foster care, you and Doug, when you guys educated us on what this means for our family. Because I, you know, in the beginning, you're like, I'm going to love this child and then it's gonna be taken away.
Right, right.
I mean,
so backwards
thinking. In health, it's very selfish on my part to think back that that was my mindset, but that's just where I was coming from.
Of course. Yeah.
And now it's different, and I'm so...
It's a shared child. It's a shared child.
Yes.
It's not just our child. Even if the family is nowhere in the picture, it still has a story. That child still has a story.
Absolutely.
They're still connected to those people.
you know, it's a shared child. It is not your child, you know?
Right.
Shared. Yeah. That's gotta be hard for a grandparent now that I'm thinking about it through that lens.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, that it's that single understanding that brought me to the place where, okay, my role right now, right here, is with this little one to be the best version of myself and love them in the way that they need to be loved.
In a way, just listening to Tammy say that, we should be that way about it every day for every person.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy, but
yeah,
none of it is guaranteed beyond tomorrow.
Totally.
This little time that you and I are having here right now, this is like, we should look at it with that kind of rich thing that she was talking about for that one baby, that one day. Mm-hmm. You're only have this baby for one day. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to, but we're all sort of living here one day, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Right. Yep. Well, thank you, parents. Was that as painful as you thought it was going to be? AKA dad, was that as painful as you thought it was going to be?
More painful.
More painful. No, you brilliant. You did a great job.
It was easy.
Yeah.
Talking to you and listening to Tammy.
I love it.
No, this is awesome. I always think to myself when we're coming in, well, I've only done this once before.
Mom, do you know that there's only two people that we have, well, no, three that we have asked to be on the podcast more than once? Not that because really? They're not great, the ones that we have only once.
Yeah.
Just like you are a recurring guest.
Wow.
If you haven't listened to Infertility and Your Mom, that was previous episodes.
And
that's
Dad
a good one.
Is not coming back.
And Dad, the jury's still pending on that one. Thank you for listening to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, a show produced by the nonprofit Uniquely Knitted. This is your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so grateful for all of our amazing donors that we have who support our work. If you would like to learn more about how we serve the community and support the work of Uniquely Knitted, we encourage you to check out our website at uniquelyknitted.org. If you enjoy this podcast and would like more people to hear it, please give us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcasts. This is just the best way for more people to hear these conversations. If you need to talk to someone about your feelings and you are hurting, please reach out to us. We are here to help you. If you would like to learn more about our unique process groups and talk to Doug and I, please follow the link in our show notes. See you guys next week.